Okay, and what were your feelings about the Vietnam War? Do you know anybody that fought in the war, and can you state anything that they may have told you about the war, as far as maybe was it fair? Should we have been sent there?
Well, I guess initially I thought, I was like many other Americans, I thought it was okay to be there, but when it became evident that we weren't really fighting it as a war, but we, you know, just seemed like we were just doing enough to keep things going on there, and we've seen all these young soldiers being maimed and killed for no specific purpose, then I started to feel like a lot of other Americans that, you know, maybe the ones that defected to Canada, the young men that did not want to fight in the war and had gone to Canada, were maybe the ones making the right choice. I had a cousin that fought in Vietnam, and I had a brother that was in the Navy and off the coast of Vietnam where they flew the fighters off of. But in talking to my cousin that was in Vietnam, he said, you know, I guess what one of the things about this war that was so difficult first is that it wasn't a lot of respect for the soldiers in the United States and the way they were treated when they were there and when they came home, but also in Vietnam that they never knew who their enemy was. That they could be fighting, you know, even a young child would be carrying grenades or, you know, carrying information to the enemy on their movement and that. So, you know, they never really knew who they were fighting, and it was such a, you know, it was such a frustration for them because of the lack of support in the United States. And I remember Jane Fonda going over to Hanoi and making her big speech on the peace thing and how devastating that was to the, you know, the soldiers that were over there. So it definitely divided this country. I remember a lot of the protests and at the Democratic Convention, how the police beat up on the protesters outside the convention because they were protesting against the Vietnam War. And like I said, it was a tremendous amount of dissension within the entire United States because of that war. And even today, there's still, you know, some dissension around it too. I think that's evident because of the fact that Bill Clinton, you know, did not go into the and fight in the Vietnam War.
And do you recall the Israeli Arab Six-Day War?
Yeah, that was kind of over before it started. Moshe Dayan was the leader of the Israeli soldiers, and they were well prepared, and like I said, they went in and made it happen and got out very quickly, and I think it shocked a lot of people how quickly that particular war was over. And of course, they captured that land, which is still creating a lot of the bickering and fighting and things that are going on today, because the Arab people want that land back that was taken from them, and you know, Israel says they will not give it back. But that was really kind of the time when all this land was captured and taken from them.
And if you can recall the period of 1968, of course, you've stated a lot of things that already were occurring with the civil rights, but can you remember Martin Luther King being assassinated? What were your feelings about the assassination? Do you feel there was a lot of chaos in the country afterwards?
Well, I remember him being assassinated there in Memphis, and honestly, I think a lot of people, you know, were real happy about it, which is, you know, sounds sad to say, but a lot of people saw him more as a troublemaker. You know, he went around as saying that he was a peacemaker, but I think he was one of these that stirred up a lot of things and then kind of backed out and let the other people take a lot of the grief in that that he, you know, he did not take. But I don't remember a lot of dissension, you know, in the country after he was killed, and I think a lot of that was because of the speech that Robert Kennedy made that evening to the black population about Martin Luther King being assassinated, and I think that calmed down a lot of the turmoil, but I just don't remember that much, you know, going on afterwards.
Okay. And in the 1960s, can you state any of the social and cultural events, once again, such as music, TV, dances, and the way things are compared even from the 50s to the 60s and then of today?
Well, of course, the 60s you got into the thing with, you know, I guess the love child and the hate Asbury out in San Francisco and types of things that were going on at that point in time. So it was kind of a whole new generation that was kind of falling out. And of course, Vietnam brought a lot of that on. But the Beatles came into being, and there was a lot of people that thought, you know, they were, it was kind of like the second wave, I guess, of Elvis and how hippie they were and their long hair and, you know, that they were corrupting, again, the new generation of youth. But I remember more about, I guess, as far as the, Timothy O'Leary, I think was his name, the professor that was really into, you know, he thought it was okay to smoke pot and create a lot of, it was just a whole different generation there for several years that they just weren't interested in, you know, what was going on. It was kind of like I said, the peace, you see the peace signs and that was the big thing, that the flower children it's almost like they dropped out of society for a number of years, a lot of cults, and, you know, it was just a whole different environment at that point in time.
In the 1960s, we had NASA. Do you feel that we were in a race with Russia? And what events do you recall happening that built us up to the Apollo 2 landing?
Well, we were in a race with Russia because obviously at that time Russia was considered the enemy, and they were, you know, very technologically advanced, you know, and really wanting to get someone into space first. So after Kennedy became president, it became a real emphasis on, you know, developing a space program. And I remember our Mercury crews, and they were like, at first we sent up actually monkeys that went on these short space trips. They weren't actually into space, they were just short, you know, like an hour flight type things that land in the ocean. And they, the space capsules actually looked like, I always think of a birdie out of a badminton set. It's kind of how the shape of the capsules were in that. But I remember John Glenn actually taking, you know, the first flight. And then I also remember Virgil Grissom was one of the original Mercury crew, and he burned up later in a there was a fire on one of the flight pads, and he was one of the people that was killed in a fire. But the Russians got actually did this with the first, you know, space flight. It was with Sputnik. But I think that's, you know, what really put the pressure on as far as NASA to make some things happen. I do remember the landing on the moon with Neil Armstrong and his comment, one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. And like I said, from then on, we pretty much dominated the space program. There was a lot of questions about whether the Russians had actually ever put anyone in space. A lot of people thought maybe their claims were false, and they tried to prove that they were just used simulated things in capsules in water and that. But, you know, who knows? I would say it's probably legitimate.
We spoke about Vietnam in the early we spoke about Vietnam earlier. In the early 1970s, can you recall us invading Cambodia and the issues that were at stake there, such as afterwards we had students killed at Kent State and Jack State?
Well, I don't, you know, I remember every night on the news, of course, the lead-off story and just about all the news was around Vietnam and what was going on, because that was at the time when it had become a very emotional issue. And, you know, with all the killings and things that were going on and the My Lai massacre and, you know, and like I said, going into Cambodia. But I specifically remember the protesting and then the students being killed there at Kent State when the National Guard opened fire on them, you know, really for no reason other than them really protesting. And, you know, what problems that created throughout the United States, especially on the college campuses, because the students had been very active in protesting the war. And this just really kind of gave them some extra ammunition to go after as far as trying to get the United States out of the war. And in fact, when Nixon
finally announced that, that you know, we were going to sit down and have peace talks with the North Vietnamese, and that it was such a big issue. It was such a big issue about whether you know, what kind of table they would use. I mean, it seemed like to me weeks deciding, I can't remember exactly how long, but it was a long period of time deciding what the shape of the table would even be for the peace talks. And then, of course, there was a lot of hysteria when we started to, you know, pull out of Vietnam. Vietnamese people, the South Vietnamese that had supported us during the war and really helped us, you know, they feared for their life with us pulling out, and people were trying to get on every possible flight to get out of the country. So, and then of course the prisoners of war, I remember those, after the peace agreement was signed, the prisoners of war coming back, that had been released, because, two of them were men that I had gone to school with, and they had pilots that had been captured early into the war and had been gone for several years. So, you know, it's just a really difficult time in the country's history. I don't know if that's
in recall back to the early 1970s, and what events would you remember most about this period of time?
Well, I guess the fact that Richard Nixon and his group of people were accused of the Watergate break-in, and there was constantly on TV all the pieces, I guess, or interviews. And I remember John Dean being on TV before the Senate and all the, you know, commission investigations. Okay, anyway, on the Watergate, like I said, I specifically remember John Dean and I guess the fact that he was kind of the squealer, you know, and agreed to go along with the government as far as giving them the information that really brought down the presidency. And I remember Richard Nixon resigning and seeing him, you know, leave, you know, on the helicopter leaving Washington. And the fact that Gerald Ford became president at that time.
And the very last question would be, what were the standards of living much different than today?
Well, I think as far as in the, you're talking about in the 70s?
In general, any of the periods from the 50s to 60s?
Well, you know, I remember, like, in the 50s, it was a big treat, you know, to get like a quarter on a Friday evening to go down to the local little drugstore and get a malt in that. And I look back and think about, you know, obviously how inflation has impacted over the years, because even my first home cost $16,000, and that same house today would probably sell for $70,000 or $80,000. But you know, I think you just people in the 50s and 60s, the whole, you know, we were just starting, the economy was in much better shape as a whole. I mean, there was a few years here and there, but people were starting to see a much better way of life. All the conveniences that my parents had never had, you know, we were able to have. And, of course, then we spoiled the next generation by thinking that we should give them everything that we hadn't had. So it's become, you know, now I think people expect everything, they want everything now, rather than realizing it's going to take a period of time, you know, to earn that. But I definitely think the new generation of adults will never be able to really impact the standard of living like my generation, because we came in just at the time when the country was really starting to grow and there was a lot more opportunities. And I think it's you know, it's going to be difficult to ever really see that type of growth again in the United States.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for your time and all your thoughts about this period of time. Thank you.
You're welcome.